Let's turn in our Bibles now to our Old Testament scripture reading from Jeremiah chapter 13, continuing our study of the book of Jeremiah, page 641 in the Pew Bibles. Jeremiah 13. Thus says the Lord to me, go and buy a linen loincloth and put it around your waist and do not dip it in water. So I bought a loincloth according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Take the loincloth that you have bought, which is around your waist, and arise, go to the Euphrates and hide it there in a cleft of the rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And after many days, the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates, and take from there the loincloth that I commanded you to hide there. Then I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the loincloth from the place where I had hidden it, and behold, the loincloth was spoiled. It was good for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Thus says the Lord, even so I will spoil the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who stubbornly follow their own heart and have gone after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be like this loincloth which is good for nothing. For as the loincloth clings to the waist of a man, so I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. But they would not listen. You shall speak to them this word. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every jar will be filled with wine. And they will say to you, do we not indeed know that every jar will be filled with wine? Then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill with drunkenness all the inhabitants of this land, the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will dash them one against another, fathers and sons together, declares the Lord. I will not pity or spare or have compassion that I should not destroy them. Hear and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings darkness. Before your feet stumble on the twilight mountains, and while you look for light, he turns it into gloom and makes deep darkness. But if you will not listen, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Say to the king and the queen mother, take a lowly seat, for your beautiful crown has come down from your head. The cities of the Negev are shut up, and none of them with none to open them. All Judah is taken into exile, wholly taken into exile. Lift up your eyes and see those who come from the north. Where is the flock that was given you, your beautiful flock? What will you say when they set as head over you those whom you yourself have taught to be friends to you? Will not pangs take hold of you like those of a woman in labor? And if you say in your heart, why have these things come upon me? It is for the greatness of your iniquity that your skirts are lifted up. And you suffer violence. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to do evil. I will scatter you like chaff driven by the wind from the desert. This is your lot, the portion I have measured out to you, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in lies. I myself will lift up your skirts over your face, and your shame will be seen. I have seen your abominations, your adulteries and neighings and lewd whorings on the hills in the field. Woe to you, O Jerusalem! How long will it be before you are made clean? Congregation of Christ, when God raised up the prophet Jeremiah in the years just before the fall of Jerusalem, he put his words in Jeremiah's mouth, and Jeremiah declared those words. And sometimes the Lord gave Jeremiah object lessons to teach him about the condition of his wayward people. Jeremiah 13 opens with an object lesson to which our ESV Bibles give the title, The Ruined Loincloth. It was a message primarily for Jeremiah, and it opens with the somewhat unusual words, Thus says the Lord to me. What God commanded Jeremiah to do was something for Jeremiah to see and to learn from. But the people to whom Jeremiah usually spoke the word of the Lord didn't see it. The house of Judah would learn of it only by reading the words of Jeremiah when he later wrote them down on a scroll. At the Lord's command, Jeremiah buys a linen loincloth and he binds it around his waist. He then receives a command from the Lord to travel to the Euphrates and to bury it in the cleft of the rocks. Then he returns home. After many days, the Lord tells Jeremiah to go back to the Euphrates, to the place where he had buried the loincloth, and to retrieve it. When Jeremiah does, he finds that the loincloth has been ruined. It was good for nothing, as verse 7 says. The meaning of this enacted parable is given in verses 8 through 11. But it has a background that goes back to when God first took the people of Israel to himself as his own people. Israel was bound to the Lord just as the loincloth was bound to Jeremiah's waist. That's what verse 11 tells you. Listen to those words again. For as the loincloth clings to the waist of a man, so I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. But they would not listen. In the book of Deuteronomy, God reminds Israel of the blessings bound up with being God's chosen people. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 4 for a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at verse 4, and actually read through verse 8. Listen to what it says here. I'm not sure I have the right place. Hold on. I'm going to start at verse 1. That's why. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from them, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? The people of Israel were bound to God by terms of the covenant God had established with them. And that covenant brought great blessing to Israel. It gave them an inheritance in the land. It assured them that God would be their protector and defender. And it made them wise and understanding in the sight of all the nations. The statutes and rules the Lord gave to Israel were something Israel could boast about. No other nation had such wonderful laws. The nations of the world would see the laws God had given Israel and praise them for it. God's law, his decrees and statutes, verse 6 says, gave Israel wisdom and understanding in the sight of the peoples. Being bound to God and hearing his law and keeping it was to be Israel's pride and delight. But in the course of time, something changed. And the relationship Israel had with God became ruined, just like the loincloth became ruined. What ruined the loincloth? Well, it was ruined because it was buried in the cleft of the rock by the river Euphrates. Okay, but what does that symbolism mean? Well, it's not saying that God's people will be ruined by God sending them to Babylon, which was located by the river Euphrates. When God sent Judah to Babylon, it wasn't to ruin them, but to save them. Maybe some of you have noticed, as I have in recent years, that quite a few Christians seem to have discovered the words of Jeremiah 29:11 and have claimed it as their own favorite verse of comfort. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Comforting words, aren't they? But they have a context. I wonder whether those who take these words as their favorite verse understand the context. Well, you can find the context simply by reading the verse that precedes it. The context is of Judah being sent to Babylon for 70 years and then being brought back. The exile wasn't the ruin of Judah. The exile was what God used to heal his people of the ruin they had plunged themselves into. God's plan, which Jeremiah 29:11 speaks of as for your welfare, not for good, to give you a hope and a future, was to purify his people by sending them into captivity, and after 70 years, delivering them. So the spoiling of the linen loincloth doesn't mean that that the captivity was going to spoil God's people. Well, what does it symbolize? Well, what ruined Israel and Judah? It was this. Instead of listening to the Lord and hearing his law, the people stopped listening. They stopped listening to God. It's repeated over and over again in our passage in Jeremiah 13. What they listened to instead was the wisdom of the nations. They learned all about the gods of the nations. And it didn't take long before they were worshiping those gods. And they trusted in the nations. When Egypt looked like it was the great threat to them, they looked to Assyria or one of the other nations to the north. And when Babylon seemed to be the greatest threat, they cast their eyes towards Egypt. Trusting the nations, trusting them for help, trusting their gods, learning their ways, was all the result of not listening to God. And not listening to God anymore was a result of their pride. Pride is mentioned 3 times in this chapter. In verse 9, God says, "Thus says the Lord, even so I will spoil the pride of Judah, the great pride of Jerusalem." In verse 15, it says, "Hear and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken." In verse 17, says, "But if you will not listen, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive." Israel's pride was manifested in their not listening to God. They listened to the nations, but they closed their ears to God and to his word. That's pride. Pride is when we think we know better ourselves than someone else. In this case, pride is thinking that we can safely ignore God and stop listening to him. Of course, God being who he is, what he says is the final word on any subject. If you're proud, no one can tell you anything. The voice you listen to, if you're proud, is your own voice. A humble person listens to others. And a truly humble person listens to God. Pride is trying to do our own things our own way. It's the opposite of humility. Humility is listening to God for what he says. What ruined Israel and Judah? Pride ruined them. Not listening to God ruined them. Listening instead to what the nations believed and said ruined them. The main requirement for Israel in the covenant that God made with them was that Israel would listen to him and obey his word. When they thought they knew better than God and stopped listening to him, and instead of listening to him, learned the ways of the nations, that was how they ruined themselves. As a result, God says in verse 9, "I will spoil the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem." God will bring down the pride of his people. It's the only way his people will ever be restored. Our society today gives very little respect to people who listen to and live out what God says. The world simply doesn't want to hear what God says, because what God says might tell them that what they want to do is wrong. And as a result, judgment hangs over our generation just as it was hanging over Judah and Jerusalem in Jeremiah's time. People don't want to hear what God says. They'll listen to all sorts of contradictory nonsense instead, but they simply don't want to listen to God. And so, judgment is coming. In verse 12, the Lord commands Jeremiah to speak this word to them. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every jar will be filled with wine. And they will say to you, do we not indeed know that every jar will be filled with wine? Apparently, this was a common saying among the people. It pointed to a great time of blessing ahead. It's like saying, happy days will be here again. They're right around the corner. But the Lord was saying something else. Verse 13. Then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill with drunkenness all the inhabitants of this land. Those who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will dash them against one another, fathers and sons together, declares the Lord. I will not pity or spare or have compassion that I should not destroy them. The people of Judah and Jerusalem are the jars, and they will be filled with the wine of God's judgment. When we refuse to listen to God, when we choose our own way and try to rule our own lives without Him, choosing to listen to the gods of our age rather than to hear His voice, we fall under God's righteous judgment. And God's judgment is hard. It's severe. But it's always just. There's a ray of hope in verse 15. The way back is to hear and give ear, not to be proud. And verse 16 says, give glory to the Lord your God before He brings darkness, before your feet stumble on the twilight mountains, and while you look for light, He turns it into gloom. There's a solution. Start hearing again. Start listening to God. Give Him glory. Don't let your feet stumble. If you don't, you'll experience judgment. Verse 17. But if you will not listen, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly, run down with tears, because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Jeremiah will weep because the house of Judah continues not to listen to God. And the coming judgment extends in verse 18 even to the king and the queen mother. And that statement about the queen mother probably places this utterance as having been given in the days of Judah's second to the last king. There were many queen mothers, but the most famous one comes right at the end before Judah went into captivity. The king and the queen mother will take a lowly seat, it says. Their crowns will come down from their heads. They're going to lose the throne. And the cities of the south, the Negev, are shut up. And there are men coming from the north, whom you once thought of as your friends. They're coming now to rule over you as rulers. And if you dare ask the question you find in verse 22, why have these things come upon me? The answer is for the greatness of your iniquity, that your skirts are lifted up and you suffer violence. It just won't do to say, all Judah needs to do is to start listening again to the Lord and obeying Him. The problem is, she can't. That's what verse 23 is saying. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to evil. Sinners need to start listening to God again. What sinners need is a heart that says, I want to hear what God says that I may do it. But that requires a radical change. It requires the new birth. You just can't start listening to God when your heart is in the habit of tuning Him out. You can't do that any more than an Ethiopian can change the color of his skin or a leopard can get rid of his spots. Sin makes prisoners of all of us. We're absolutely powerless to set ourselves free. But thanks be to God, there's hope. Jesus died and rose again so that sinners could be changed. You can't change, but Jesus can change you. His resurrection is the source of the new birth and of Him changing you from having a heart which loves sin and won't listen to God to a heart which hears the word of the Lord and does it. Jesus died and rose to change our hearts so that we no longer in proud arrogance refuse to listen to Him, but can be eager to hear and to obey His every word. And He sent His Spirit into the world, not only to inspire the gospel that is preached, but to change our hearts. This chapter that we've been looking at this morning isn't a happy one. If you came here this morning looking to hear a happy message, I guess, well, you came on the wrong day. Jeremiah 13 is a message about the ruin of sin and about judgment and about our hopelessness in ever trying to save ourselves. Judah and Jerusalem were headed for judgment. They were ruined by their own sin and their pride of not hearing. They were helpless to do anything about it. They needed to change, but they couldn't change. And as sinners today, we're in the same predicament. Chapter 13 of Jeremiah cries out loudly for Jesus' death and resurrection, from which the new birth comes. For that's the only way we can be saved. What will you do? The place to start is by asking yourself the question, do I really listen to God? Do I really want to hear what He says and to conform my life to His plan? Or do I just want to go my own way and do my own thing? Do I, in the pride of my heart, refuse to listen to God's word, to His voice? If that's the case, judgment hangs over you. God's judgment is just. He gives every person what he deserves. But who can stand before His awful, righteous judgment? The good news of the gospel is that God sent His Son Jesus into the world to stand under God's righteous judgment against sin and sinners so that sinners could be forgiven and declared righteous in God's sight, and be changed. Hearts are changed by the grace that comes from Jesus' death on the cross in the place of sinners. That's the only place where true hope can be found. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God in heaven, as we looked at your people, Judah and Israel, this morning, we've seen the condition of our hearts there. For Lord, that's exactly how we are. Although we were made to know you and love you, to listen to you and walk with you, Lord, we've sought out our own ways. We've refused to listen to your voice. Instead, Lord, we've listened to all the things of this world, all the things of the nations. And we've ruined ourselves. We're ruined by our own sin. We can't just turn to you. We don't want to. There's no strength in us to do it. But Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you that you turn sinners around in their tracks. Thank you that you come and meet us where we are and speak that word of grace into our hearts, and you cause us to become alive and aware of our sin and to confess it to you and to cry out to you for mercy. Lord, it's all because of your wonderful grace. Thank you. Lord, may your grace be known in our lives. And Lord, this morning, if there's someone here who is still not listening to you, still going their own way, or who's deceived themselves into thinking that they're walking with you when they're actually not, Lord, reach down into their heart, we pray. Change them. Change them by the grace of our Lord Jesus, who hung on the cross and rose again and sends his Spirit into the world so that sinners could be brought home to you. We pray these things in his name. Amen.